Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, and 420 went by without a hitch, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came and went.
Yes.
And I didn't do anything.
Well, you do stuff all the time. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what was I supposed to do, right? Like, some people will just go from one dispensary to the other and get gifts and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's a hassle to go to a new one because then you have to start filling out paperwork and stuff. You know, it's not as easy as just walking in.
It's not like a bar crawl.
Right. So, and once they have your record, then you still have to bring your ID and recommendation every time you go there, but you don't have to fill all the forms every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured just to go in for a little gift or something, that's not the point. The point is to get together with people and smoke, and they don't do that in dispensaries anymore. They used to. They used to smoke in there, but yeah. So, but you know, if you want to do things like this, you can go to Colorado, and there's places where you can go and smoke with people.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, I'm actually considering taking a vacation to Colorado.
You keep changing it.
No, but Colorado is beautiful anyway. You know, it might be a good chance to go and check it out.
I think so.
I've always wanted to go to Colorado.
It's probably a good time of year to go.
I think so, huh? Yeah. It's not too cold, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been kind of chilly out here, huh?
Yeah.
Did you feel that?
Yeah, and I don't know why I didn't wear a jacket.
Yeah, I know. I've been wearing long sleeve because it's been cold in the morning.
Yeah.
And then at night, too.
Yeah.
You tired? You still not getting enough sleep or what?
I think it's the weather that makes me tired.
Really?
Also. Yeah.
Yeah. You still getting enough sleep, though?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Okay. So no bed bugs and
none
of that stuff. So.
Nope.
That's good. So all that anxiety went away.
Yeah.
Must feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely relieving.
Yeah. So is the rash going away or what's the what's the scoop? Yeah.
Yeah. It should be gone like 6 to 8 weeks.
Good. Good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah.
Today's Earth Day.
It is, right?
Yeah.
You reminded us yesterday. What does it mean? Do you know?
I think it's a celebration of the Earth.
Okay.
And like,
yeah, but what do people do?
They do different projects, and they recognize that today is Earth Day. I think Diana the other day was saying how she's doing that trash on your back thing.
Right. In fact, today she's interviewing Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Wow.
On the phone. Pretty big deal.
That is a big deal.
But I guess it's because it's Earth Day, and he's very active, I think, in the environment and stuff. So that should be pretty cool.
A lot of the headlines had to do with Earth Day and things of climate, nature.
Yeah, I know, I know. They are saying that there might be an El Nino out here, which will bring us a lot of rain. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Haven't they been saying that forever?
I don't know. I remember the last one we had, everybody bitched because there was so much rain, you know.
Wasn't it like only like a couple years ago?
No, no, not that. Well, maybe there was, but I mean, I don't remember rain 2 years ago. This, I'm talking 15 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wasn't here then.
Yeah. I remember it well. And it was a tough winter, a lot of rain. Now we can only wish. Now, you, did you tell me you're going to be on Candace Silver's show?
Yes.
Okay, you're the one. Because I'm like, how do I know she's going? And I try to remember that, and I didn't. I didn't remember you telling me, but I thought, I don't think they told me, so it must have been you.
Might have
so
been.
That's going to be tomorrow, right? Thursday?
Yes.
Yeah. Tomorrow at 4, if you guys want to listen to Jen, what are you guys going to talk about, do you know?
Some personal stuff. I think they actually don't say your last name, so now everybody knows. So thanks, Sam.
What?
Because the whole point, I think, is that they don't say who their guests' their last names are.
Well, I didn't say your last name. But people know it.
Right.
Okay.
Because our listeners know who I am.
Right. But you're the one who brought it up in the first place. How did I know?
No, I don't think I told you.
You didn't tell me on the air?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Then don't go. Nobody listen, please. I think people would have figured it out, maybe. Listeners and stuff, you know.
I don't know.
Sorry, did I blow it for you? Okay. You should have told me.
You already started.
No, like before when you first told me about it.
I don't think I actually told you.
How did I know?
Maybe they told you. I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
So what, you're not going to be able to talk about? Yeah, people will forget by tomorrow.
Okay.
Now everybody's going to listen.
Don't listen. That's it.
Okay, so personal stuff. Well, okay. All right. Well, I mean, look, if you're willing to share it on the air, then, you know, you got to understand people are going to listen, you know.
Yes, somebody's, but they wouldn't know who I am.
And what if they did figure it out?
I don't know. It doesn't matter now.
Okay, I know. Too late, right?
Too late.
Can't put the genie back in the bottle.
No.
Or the toothpaste back in the tube.
No.
Like they say. All right. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. He's got an organization called The Reconnection, and he's been on the show a couple times, and pretty interesting stuff.
I was reading about it.
He's all over the place, so we'll talk to him in a few minutes. His name is Eric Pearl, and he couldn't make it in this time. He's been here a couple times before, though, and he's got a nice bunch of people working with him and everything, so it's pretty cool, you know. People get into a lot of things, you know. It's really interesting.
I look forward to hearing more about him.
Yeah, I know. So, I started using the app Hi There that we were talking about, right? To find other people that are into the 420 lifestyle, which is, in other words, people that get high on weed. And I was hoping to... So they let you actually search on guys... Both guys and girls and just girls. So at first I said, well, I'm just looking for someone to get high with. And I'm seeing only guys coming up. And I thought, I don't mind meeting a friend or two. But it's kind of weird for men to do that.
Right.
You know, like, hey, I'm picking you. I want to connect with you type
right.
of thing. I don't know. It seems weird. So I don't know if this app's going to take off. Maybe it's more for dating. But, you know, then I'm getting all these young girls and everything. And, you know, nobody's going to look at me. So I need to find people my age and stuff, you know.
Right.
So you asked me about my age, why I'm so conscious about it. That's why. You know, I can't do everything.
Right.
Some things I can't do anymore.
Just some things, not
like
everything.
Hang out with young people. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So so I don't think it works, though. And then I found another one. It was funny because they had... in the paper, they had a picture of a couple walking by, and they talked about it being 420 and everything. And there was a sign on the tree for a website called 420mate.com. So, okay, so that was a sign on the tree. They didn't even mention it. So I just thought, oh, there's another one, so let me try that. I did. First, it wouldn't even let me log in with Facebook, so I had to fill out a whole profile and stuff, only to find there's hardly anybody there, you know. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe one day these things will work. But, you know, for now, even if Tinder worked, I'd be happy. But it's not working out. I don't know why. It's because of me. I'm not following up, really. But then again, they're not either. So, you know. I mean, where was the woman that said, how can I keep your attention for a few minutes? And or how can I keep you interested? Whatever it was that she wrote. And I told her, I said, let's talk on the phone. And she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, come on. So, yeah, people just move on with this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure some people swear by it, you know, but...
Some people have found somebody on there, you know? So yeah. I think that those people can say that it works, and then the
right.
rest of us...
I know.
I don't know that it does.
It feels more like a game, you know? When you go on Match.com or one of these dating sites, it's like it seems more serious and everything.
Definitely.
And it is, you know? I mean, there's more to find out about the person, and people are there, you know, for one thing. And so I don't know about Tinder, but... Whatever. It seems to work. So now they have like Tinder for everything, you know.
Right.
It's like every app you can think of. It's like swipe right, swipe left.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff.
It was a pretty good idea that they came up with.
Yeah, I know. So we have another death by police.
Yes.
You probably heard that.
I did.
His name is Freddie Gray, the victim. And this actually was not caught on video. I mean, there's no, like, you don't see any police brutality, but he died in their custody after he's been there for a week.
Yeah.
Right? And what, like his spine? Something happened to his spine? Injury to his spinal cord. So, I mean, you know, the police are like, we don't know. But the thing is, come on, you know. I mean, I'm sure they put him through something. How do you sustain an injury to your spinal cord?
I don't know. It has to
be through a fight or something, I think. You know.
I mean, I have no idea, and I'd be interested to see what comes out of this investigation.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people are protesting because, I don't know, Jen, I mean, the police are getting out of control. This is just happening too many times.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm one that I like to believe that the police really are there to protect and serve. But I guess maybe I'm pretty naive. I don't know. Good thing I don't have to worry about being pulled over for just anything, you know. Whereas, you know, black people and stuff get pulled over. And some of our shows, you know, I listen to some of our shows. And you know, they're saying, you know, I'm afraid to drive even with a broken taillight because I'd get pulled over or something.
Yeah.
Know? Like driving while black type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's scary, you know, and we're not aware of this stuff, but it happens. And I don't know. I think it sucks, you know. It's really bothersome to see these things keep happening. And it's always with white cops, black people, you know. I don't know what's going on.
I don't either. Hopefully they'll do something about it. I don't know.
But the question is, why are these people involved with the police in the first place, you know? I mean, there's a lot of black people, they never see a policeman in their life. So I don't think, you know, I don't know how much of it has to do with race. But police are getting out of control, and people are protesting in Baltimore now. So we'll see what happens there.
They released the names of the six police officers, too.
Six police officers?
Yeah,
six
that were involved.
Them? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So they suspended them all?
Yeah, with pay.
With pay?
Yeah. Apparently, after 10 days, they can release the names of the police. And so now people are interviewing them.
Oh, okay. So they're going to still be paid for it. Maybe because there's no evidence yet or anything against them, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of policemen here. I see they're like listing all of them.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But there's a lot of protests out there, you know. I mean, people have had enough. You know, we were talking about, remember, I always talk about, like, Islamic terrorism and all that. And I remember telling you that I read how, like, Minneapolis, St. Paul is a haven for them because there's a big Somali community there that doesn't assimilate. Well, sure enough, yesterday they caught two people from Minneapolis, you know, that were going to fight for ISIS.
Where did they catch them?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't get that deep into it. But they did catch them in there from there. Although they caught a couple from San Diego, too, or at least trying to escape through San Diego or fly out. And, and then you have all these the immigrant problems now with Europe, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that ship sort of like brought it to light that capsized, you know. Actually, they said it was 800 people that died.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there were 900 people total on the ship or something.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. Wow. I mean, can you imagine just watching something like this would be like horrendous.
I mean, and
to
then
watch people suffer. And
somebody has to go pick up all the bodies.
Right.
That's a horrible
job. They do, yeah.
I mean, so this boat capsized. Was it capsized for any particular reason or was this...
I don't know. I have a feeling maybe there were too many people on there. Maybe it was a bad boat. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that they know yet. you know, but it seems like too many people. I mean, that's a lot of people.
Well, do you know, we know the size of the boat?
I can't imagine it being too big, you know. But yeah, and you know, so Europe is now, you know, looking at its problems and stuff, and, you know, so I don't know what's... yeah, I just don't know. I keep reading about all this stuff, and it really worries me that nobody's doing anything. You know, I mean, look, in Yemen, there's problems with Al-Qaeda. Already we're mobilizing ships and stuff to go there to protect the government that we back, and which is a Muslim government anyway. But then we have all the problems with ISIS, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I'm telling you, there are generals and politicians that are warning that this is going to get out of control. You know, so...
It already is out of control.
It is out of control, Jen. I mean, what they do to women and, you know, so what they do is even when there's... Because obviously there's women that go to fight for ISIS too, or to become ISIS brides.
Yeah.
Things like that. So they say they put them in charge of like brothels of sex slaves. And, you know, so... I mean, just imagine, you know, having to watch that, them... raping someone from your family or taking them away, and you never know what's going to happen to them, you know. These are like major problems, you know. And I don't necessarily have, you know, like sympathy necessarily for the people there in general, but I do feel a lot of sympathy for the victims, for all these people that have to live through this. And so you know what ISIS is doing? They're actually building cities. They're building a government. So, you know, it's not just like Al-Qaeda stuff. I mean, they're serious. And but you know what I'm saying? Also, at the same token, once they have a state, it'll be easier to destroy them, you know, because you'll have like a general area where to attack them. Now they're spread all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. Here we go. Our guest is calling in, so we're going to check this out. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Eric Pearl?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm here with Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
You haven't had a chance to meet her yet, but Eric, you've been on the show a couple times.
Yes, I have.
Yes. How are you doing? Where are you calling us from today? Because I know you're all over the world.
I am all over the world, and I'm in a place I come to very infrequently today. I'm actually in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. So you travel quite a bit with your organization that's called The Reconnection. And tell us a little bit about that, Eric. We have many new listeners, I guess, that are not aware of the Reconnection and stuff, but you made it a pretty big thing, and we'd like to hear about it.
Well, sure. The Reconnection and Reconnective Healing are a new level of healing that seem to take us beyond anything scientists have ever been able to find in what we've known up until now as energy healing. Because, of course, everything is energy, and that's all we've known here. But reconnective healing, you know, your energy, I'm energy, the floor is energy, everyone's energy, and we are more than our physical bodies. But we're discovering that through science we're more than our physical bodies when we interact with the reconnective healing frequencies, because it brings in new aspects of light and information that the researchers have never seen here before. There are so many studies going on finding out what brings about spontaneous evolution and healings that come through reconnective healing, including just this recent published study from the University of Arizona shows that just 10 minutes of reconnective healing is actually more effective than physical therapy in restoring range of motion to the body. One new study that's about to take place at a 1,000-bed hospital in Germany is because we've had 6 studies so far showing that when you experience reconnective healing, it restructures and helps more potentially optimize your DNA. So that the study in Germany is about to demonstrate that not only does it restore range of motion to women who have had surgeries for mastectomies for their cancers and have lymphadenectomies because of it. But it's also designed to show that the effect on the DNA might change the pattern of passing certain types of breast cancer down in families from mother to daughter and mother to daughter. So reconnected healing came about in a very strange way. It was not anything I had planned or intended. In short, in about as the 60 to 90 second version of it,
yes,
I was practicing as a doctor of chiropractic in my 12th year of practice when one night a few strange things happened. The lamp next to my bed turned itself on. I opened my eyes to see what it was. I saw that my bedroom door was also open, so I got up. I got a knife and a can of pepper spray and went searching through the house to see if anyone was here. Couldn't find anyone. I decided it had to be my imagination, so I went back to sleep. But that Monday, when I went into my office, seven of my patients started telling me that they were experiencing very unusual sensations when I worked with them. Very unusual sensations when I worked with them, including they were feeling multiple sets of hands resting comfortably on their bodies. They felt when my hands were near them as if I were touching them, even though I hadn't been. They were seeing colors they'd never seen, smelling flowers they'd never smelled. And actually, when they got up, they started reporting, they started demonstrating, some of them dramatic healing. Some of them were getting up out of wheelchairs that they had come in on. Others were regaining the use of arms, legs, vision, hearing. Kids with cerebral palsy or epilepsy were suddenly able to walk and run and play and speak normally, not as seizures, not as medications. Even their doctors were calling to ask what was going on, and all I could say was, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what I did, and don't tell anybody.
Yeah. So how long ago did that happen?
This actually started in August of 1993.
Oh, wow. So that's quite some time ago. And so you've taken this and actually done something with it to help other people. I know you travel around the world. So if people come to see you, what can they expect?
Well, what happens is I don't do healing sessions now. In actuality, what I do is I teach people how to do this. I teach people how to not only heal themselves, but how to become healers for others as well. So I've trained close to 100,000 people around the world. I teach not only at hospitals and universities and present at the United Nations, but we teach in hotels and convention centers to the general public, to everyone who wants to learn this work. So, for example, we'll be teaching at a yoga retreat called Kripalu in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, May 1st through 5th. Uh-huh. We'll be teaching a full training program of how to do this in Sacramento, June 26th through 30th. We'll be teaching it in Philadelphia, July 24th through 28th. And we'll be teaching it in Los Angeles, right here in Los Angeles, September 11th through 15th. And actually, we're giving a presentation this very weekend, Sunday, April 26th in San Mateo. I'll be presenting from 2 to 4 at the New Living Expo. So we teach around the globe. What happens is we've got training programs that are brand new, starting brand new training programs now, different than the ones we've been teaching over all of the years up until now. And what happens is we'll give a presentation. Usually it's on a Friday night for 3 hours. We talk about the history, the theory, the philosophy, the science of the work. We bring people up and give live demonstrations of the healing so you can witness the reality of this for yourself. We let you feel it in your hands, and we begin to teach you how to do it on that Friday night. And for people who want to learn reconnective healing on a personal level, you know, for self-healing and to be able to help members of their immediate families, maybe close friends, we teach it on that Saturday and Sunday, which is called Level 1, for people who want to learn this work at the advanced level, so they have the choice whether they just want to learn it on the highest level or whether they want to become reconnective healing practitioners. We continue with level two on that Monday and Tuesday, where we have massage tables set up, so we demonstrate the work from the stage, and you stand at the head of the massage table. Someone else lies down on your massage table. The teaching assistants and I come around, and we show you how to begin to do this. If you see the people on your very table go into involuntary movements of their eyes, their facial muscles, their fingers, their arms, their legs, then you get to lie down and experience it. We teach you advanced levels in this. We bring in people from outside the seminar, so you get to practice on people who don't know what to experience. You get to learn how to do professional sessions in healing right there. You get to learn how to do them via distance, via hologram. We teach you how to begin to set up your practice, and by the end of the full level one and two seminar, I can pretty much make you two promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do, and B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being, anyone who calls himself a healer anywhere on this planet can do.
Oh, wow. That's
how cool.
Amazing. I know. Now, my question is this. You said you didn't know what happened to you and how this came to you, this ability or and so how is it that you can teach people how to do it? I thought it was something that just kind of happened to you. And let's say, so you're gifted in this ability. How do you teach it to people?
Well, you see, that's what I always thought. That's why when people started asking me to teach this, I said, you've got to be crazy. I'm just standing there waving my hands in the air. But so many people, when I would start to show them how to feel it and how to begin to access it and play with it, would report to me that when they got home, they drove up in front of their house, their automatic garage door started to open and close by itself, or they walked inside, their lamps and television started turning off and on, they felt sensations in their hands, they held hands by people in their family, and the grandfather could walk after the stroke, or the uncle could see again, and that's when we began to find that once you interact with this, it brings about a change which is substantiated now through many, many, many international scientific studies, that it changes our DNA. It raises the level of light that we emit to something more harmonic, more coherent. It restructures and changes the way our eye function is, our brain function, our heart waves. And so what we do in the seminars is, this is sort of conveyed to you, this ability is shared with you, and then the teaching is how to become more intimately and intricately familiar with it, how to learn the subtleties and the nuances of this work at a level which makes you a healer. So you can't technically, I believe, teach the healing. What happens is the healing is a sharing of a gift from person to person, and then you teach the familiarity and the intricacies of it.
Right. So you're saying, in summary, that anybody can do this if they only learn how to.
Hey, right. Anyone can learn how to do it. Then the challenge comes. See, it's easiest for people to learn who've never learned healing. It's a little more difficult for because it's a bit of an ego challenge to people who have learned energy healing techniques, because reconnective healing allows us to completely transcend techniques, to recognize that we are more than our techniques, and we are more than technique itself. In essence, the clearest analogy is like if you've learned to ride the bicycle with training wheels, and no one has shown you how to take the training wheels off, sometimes we can be resistant to removing the training wheels because we're afraid of that. But it's the only way we'll master the bike itself. We're not here to master the bicycle with training wheels. We're here to master the bicycle itself. And today, the world has changed. And our relationship with God, with love, with the intelligence of the universe has changed. And we are no longer here to master our energy healing techniques, which is the old view of our relationship with the universe. We're not here to master energy healing techniques. We are here to master healing. And that means today, through the reconnection, we can learn to remove the training wheels of our energy healing techniques and truly become the healers that we are.
Right. Fascinating stuff. Eric Pearl, go ahead and give out your website so people can find out more and maybe attend your seminars.
Sure. The website is www.thereconnection.com. It's just thereconnection.com. You have to use the word the because, well, you have to use the word the.
Right, exactly.
And, right. And again, we're this weekend in San Mateo at the New Living Expo, Sunday, April 26th from 2 to 4. And the training seminars are May 1 through 5 in Kripalu in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. We're in Sacramento, June 26th through 30, Philadelphia, July 24th through 28, and here in Los Angeles, downtown L.A., we are at the Biltmore, I think, September 11th through 15th.
Amazing, amazing. Well, everybody go out and try to catch these. I mean, obviously, it's going to be in many different places, so it's probably in your town or somewhere close. Definitely check this out. I know Eric's been around for many years, and, you know, we've had him a couple times on the show, and it's always fascinating to hear this stuff and knowing that you have many people following your techniques and everything. So, Eric, thank you so much, and much more success to you. You know, I mean, it's fascinating stuff. Next time you're in town and you can come in, you're invited to come back.
I would love to do that. Thank you so very much for your time on the air.
Of course. Eric Pearl, The Reconnection. Everybody check it out, thereconnection.com. Find out more information about it. Eric, thank you, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye-bye.
And
Jen.
Bye.
Yeah. So you see, people have all kinds of things, you know. I mean,
I thought you didn't believe in healing and all of that.
I don't. I don't, but it still fascinates me. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm going to tear people down because of it, but I mean, I've seen people that actually went to Eric's seminars and swear by it.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I would love to learn how to be a healer.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing to have in your repertoire.
Yeah.
I've actually been to a healer before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's fascinating.
Did it work for you?
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
I would go back to her, however you pay her cash, or not cash, but like it's not through insurance, obviously.
Right.
And it's not cheap.
Really?
So.
Yeah.
But it was a great, great experience.
Really?
Yeah.
So you do believe this, people have the ability and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, I totally buy into Eric's thing. You know, I'm still a skeptic, but the thing is that it works. You can't argue with, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people. I'm sure he's got many more than that around the world. But, yeah, I mean, I'd like to try that and see once and for all. Maybe I'll become a believer.
Yeah. Hey, you know? I can give you my healer's number.
That's true. But I would go to Eric or one of his people. In fact, I've met some of his staff, and they're amazing, you know. So, yeah.
I recommend it at least once.
Yeah. I know. It sounds interesting, you know. And, I mean, when people, when you can say you can teach this to other people, I mean, if you were just bullshitting and stuff, it wouldn't last very long.
Right.
You know, you can't fool many people. Like they said, who was it, Lincoln that said this? You can fool some people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time.
Right. That makes sense.
Right?
Yes.
So,
I mean, I think, like, in terms of energy and things like that, like, you, if you touch somebody, you can feel warmth from, or, like, even if you, like, put your hand over them like this.
Right.
Like, in front of them. You can feel an energy coming off their hands if you focus on it.
Yeah.
And I've been, like, in workshops where, like, you test that, and you can feel certain energy, like, what if, okay, so, like, there's a lot to do with chakras and things like that, but like if you put your hand over like the heart chakra and you feel a lot of energy coming from that person's heart chakra, that means their chakra's open.
Right.
But if there isn't a lot of energy coming from it, then it's closed.
Right. And then there's problems, emotional problems,
right,
and mental problems,
right,
and things like that. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's all kind of, I guess, a lot of Well, Asian religion stuff, you know, I mean, they deal with
Eastern medicine.
Eastern medicine, thank you.
Yes.
They deal with this stuff, and it's, yeah, it's very interesting.
There's something to it. I mean, if so many people believe in it, and it's not like a cult. Like, no one's like, I'm in the cult of healers.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's like the opposite of what it even is.
Yeah.
But people cure people. I mean, it's, I think that that's why people say, like, it's the universe, we're all connected.
Right. It is about energy. I mean, you can't deny that everything is based on energy and everything is energy.
Right.
You know, and but just sometimes taking it beyond what we understand is hard to grasp, you know. But all I would need is somebody to, maybe I'll contact them and I'll contact Eric and say once and for all, why doesn't somebody do something for me? And then I can go on the radio and tell everybody that it works, you know.
Do it.
Yeah. I do need to, because I'd be fascinated.
I just think that if there are things out there that can help us, we might as well try them.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't cause anything, you know.
It's just going to help you. So it's only improving your life.
Yeah, that's true. And you like things like this. I mean, this speaks to you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you're pretty, are you pretty spiritual, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not religious spiritual.
No.
More like energies and connected
right.
with the universe.
And I have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
So.
Faith in what?
I would say the universe and that things work out the way they do and that a lot of things, like, you know, you put positive energy out there, you get positive things in return. And
right, like karma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like different. I think that's like if you believe in past lives and stuff like that.
Reincarnation.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know that I believe in all that except for the fact that like the healer I went to told me that I was a man in my former lives and that's why I'm like the way I am now. But I can like finally be a woman and I don't have to be so protective of people and like helpful to communities. And I'm usually the person that speaks for the crowd
right.
is what she said. She's like, you were all, I never told her what I did. She's like, you were always the person that spoke for the people in wow. your past lives. And here I am on the radio.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe there's something to it. You know?
Yeah. And also, she and my other psychic both told me I was going to have all girls because they're like, finally, you need feminine energy around you. So, listen, there's something to past lives, psychics, healers. I believe it. I also don't have to understand it. I think that's where my faith comes in. I don't have to understand everything to believe it. I just do.
That's true.
If I see it work or if I hear good experiences, that's enough for me.
Right. No, and I mean, people have done readings for me in numerology and astrology and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it really amazed me.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not a big skeptic. I mean, you know, some of these things you can't argue with.
Right.
You know, so go figure, you know, I don't know.
Speaking of things, I watched the Scientology documentary the other night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that thing was crazy.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I had no idea all that was going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they just go into detail of, like, what happens along the way and experiences that these people that have left the church have had and why they left and who was in charge and how they, like, they idolize Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Or they did, at least. And the guy who is in charge of the church now is like, he just represents a villain. He just looks and sounds and just appears to be a villain.
Yeah. And it's amazing. It just shows you what kind of power people have over other people that people can't see through that.
So many people.
Yeah.
You have to, as you would, I think, find the documentary very interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to watch that. But, you know, my question is, how do people just follow, you know, I just don't understand, you know. I mean, the thing is, okay, so faith is blind faith and stuff, but I think you have to be pretty down to be able to buy into something like this.
Well, that's what they do. They prey on the weak.
Yeah.
People that are in search of something. So, like, that's how on college campuses, cults get students that have moved from somewhere else, don't have a lot of friends,
right.
and they suck them in.
Yeah.
Because it has them be part of something.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds a lot like ISIS.
Well, I mean, generally, groups that, you know, pray on the weak.
Yeah, that's like what they do. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing that it's lasted as long as it has.
Scientology?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around forever now.
Right.
So long.
Yeah.
I wonder what's happening, though, with this documentary coming out and, like, if people are coming to understand it more. Because what they were saying is that the people that are in the church and that live actually on church grounds are not allowed access to, like, the internet and the news and things like that. So they had no idea what other people were saying about Scientology.
Right.
So while they were in it, they thought it was great because they know what they knew.
Yeah. So the secret is to keep them ignorant.
Right.
Yeah.
So crazy.
I know. I'm thinking of some of the cults over the years, and it's just amazing how some people have such influence over other people.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, they're still, even though the people are weak or whatever, they need something, but it's still, you know, I mean, to influence that many people and wash their brains in the way that they do sometimes.
I mean, especially the cults that, like, get everyone to kill themselves.
Yeah, like in Guyana millions of years ago.
What about Waco, Texas?
His name was Jim Jones or something, and they all drank the punch, and they all died.
Was that Waco?
No, that was Guyana. But in Waco, some actually killed themselves too, I think.
Yeah.
But also...
what about the Jonestown? Wasn't there...
Yeah, that's Jonestown in Guyana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Jones was his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, these things... and then there were cults here too. But I don't think they went as far as having people kill themselves. You know.
Yeah.
But God, it's like people will follow anything.
Well, not everyone, but...
No, I'm saying people in general. Yeah. So, listen to this now. I mean, this woman got pregnant with a turkey baster. She has a friend, a male friend, and she talked him into having him donate his sperm. So he would go into a room, bring his sperm out, and then they just talk and he leave. But he knew that she was planning to get pregnant. So she thought it was just going to be like a thing where she gets to be in control of her life and stuff, and she doesn't need a man and all that, right? So, but I guess the guy had different ideas, and now he wants to be part of the children's lives.
Interesting.
Yeah. So... So they're fighting in court, and he won joint custody and visitation rights.
Great.
Yeah, see, just based on your sperm, man.
I mean, and he should, because it wasn't done legally. It wasn't done, like, through a hospital. It wasn't done through normal protocol where you, right, like, donate your sperm and sign waivers and all kinds of stuff.
Right. And, I mean, even in cases where people do, I think still if you take it to court, they're going to keep it with the mom and stuff, you know. So I don't know. Because I think there have been cases where they had a surrogate mother and then she changed her mind later.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I don't think you can take a baby from a woman, even if she signed the contract, you know.
Well, I don't think he's taking the baby from a woman.
Not him. But,
right, oh.
Yeah, but...
I got lost there.
Yeah. No, because we were talking in general also.
Right.
And, you know, I'm thinking sometimes people would just want to be like the mother... Well, this is in a way also where the mother wanted to keep him from any contact with the children, you know. So
you lost me.
I lost myself too.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean that's an unusual way to get pregnant. I didn't even think you could. I thought it was just an urban legend, you know, for the turkey baster.
Guess it works. Now everyone knows.
Yeah, and I guess McDonald's is having financial problems and everything.
Why?
And when was the last time you were at McDonald's?
I don't eat fast food.
I know. Were you ever at McDonald's?
Yeah, at some point in my life.
Okay,
when
so
I was
that's
little.
The thing. I haven't been to McDonald's in a very long time, and that's probably why they're doing very bad, because people are turning to healthier food, I think.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that occurred to me.
There's also a lot of competition out there.
There is. But McDonald's sort of like, you know, it's an icon and everything.
Yeah.
And they, you know, around the world, not just here. But apparently all around the world, people are changing their diets, you know, and saying enough is enough of this.
Good.
So the interesting thing is, I guess they're saying a lot of business goes to places like Chipotle and stuff, and which McDonald's sold off 10 years ago.
Mm.
They sold off Chipotle. Just imagine if they kept it.
Yeah. Should have.
Yeah. Do you eat there? You don't eat there either,
no.
Right? Yeah. Because you eat healthy, right?
Yeah.
So you can't eat healthy when you go out unless you go to a nice restaurant and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, even regular restaurants. I wouldn't call Chipotle a restaurant.
Right.
I mean, it's fast food restaurant. If you, like. But.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I don't personally like Chipotle at all. I mean, I'll eat fast food every once in a while, but I don't know. Everybody's trying to take me to Chipotle. It's great. I've tried it a couple times. Didn't like it.
I mean, I don't know how much better it is than any other Mexican food. It's not.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to a Mexican restaurant than a Chipotle.
Yeah, exactly. And also, they have Poquito Mas, which is really good. You know, like a chain also.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like fast food. It feels fresh and nice and tasty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, but we have so much Mexican food here that there's such a big selection.
Right.
You know, but people do like Chipotle. I don't know why. So, but McDonald's is in trouble, and that means that that people should change their menus.
Right. Well, I do think they have, like, a couple healthy options, like snack wraps.
Right. But who goes to McDonald's for healthy stuff, you know? That's probably for the parents that are taking the kids to eat the french fries and the chicken nuggets.
Oh, gosh. My kids will never eat fast food.
Yeah. Huh?
I don't care what time limitations we have in our day.
Yeah.
They will not eat fast food.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you. My kids liked fast food a lot when they were growing up, like most kids. But as they grew up, they moved away from it. And now we hardly ever eat any fast food, you know, just maybe if we don't have time or something. But, no, usually it's a sit-down restaurant and just enjoy yourself. But when they're kids, they're 4 or 5 years old, you know, they want to go to McDonald's. So you take them every once in a while.
The only fast food I actually do eat is Subway.
Really? You eat Subway?
Well,
you see, I find their sandwiches have no flavor whatsoever.
I love Subway.
Really?
I could eat Subway all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a Subway fan.
Because, I mean, there's some Sub places in town that are just amazing.
Yeah. Well, we have good sandwich places here. But
come on, Subway. I don't know. I can't understand the success.
I think Subway is like, you either love it. It's like polarizing.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, Jen, they bring their meat in like packages and stuff,
I don't
you know.
Care. I mean, like, listen, I don't eat it now because I also don't eat bread, but when I did eat it,
it was good for you.
Well, it was better than other options, and I would scoop the bread and I would have them, like, you know, make it as healthy as possible. But I love Subway.
Wow.
If I could eat Subway every day and
really
not get fat, Jared is a liar. I don't know how he, well, I guess he lost weight on it because he wasn't eating the crap he used to eat.
Yeah.
That guy, Jared. So.
Right.
I wish I could eat it every day, all day.
Yeah.
I'd be so happy. I can eat a foot long. I
really?
Have no shame.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And what's your favorite sandwich there? Do you have a favorite?
I make mine. Like, I tell them what to put in it.
I see.
I go turkey.
So it's not off the menu. It's
my own creation.
Okay.
I've been eating the same version of that since college.
Really?
Yep.
What about pizza? Do you like pizza?
Love pizza.
Yeah.
Can't eat it, but love it.
Oh, you can't eat it?
Well, it's not healthy.
Yeah. That's okay not to eat healthy sometimes. I mean, treat yourself, you know?
I do with drinking. For me, wine and stuff like that is more my treat.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to make sacrifices. Can't do everything
you
we want
do.
All the time.
You got to make sacrifices, yeah. All right, well, that's another show in the can, Jen. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.